Woo! About to fly off the stage with this robe. All right. So I know many of y'all wore some of your favorite things today, and I appreciate that. And the reason I wanted you all to wear something of your favorite this morning is twofold. One, because it is a celebratory time of Christmastide and seemed like a unifying way to present ourselves to the Lord in gratitude. So you all look lovely, and thank you for being here. Some of you look very comfortable. And just so you know, I have on my favorite sock monkey socks, so they're kind of hidden by the poinsettias, but that's okay. So we have put on the garment of praise in exchange for the spirit of heaviness, as it claims in Isaiah 61:3. So I love how on resurrection morning we say, "He is risen," and you all respond with,
"He is risen indeed."
So this morning, may we proclaim together that He is born indeed. So He is born.
He is born indeed.
Amen. Secondly, I have asked us to wear and consider our favorite items as we dive into the Colossians text, thinking about what the Lord is asking us to put on and wear as followers of Jesus Christ. So we are called to spiritually clothe ourselves counterculturally to what the world would have us put on and declare as our garments of praise. The world wants us to worship ourselves. The Lord wants us to be in relationship with Him, to worship Him, and thus be blessed and transformed by the peace and love that only God can give. So let us go to Colossians 3 as we come to verse 12 again. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We see that in the context of Paul's writings at the beginning of this section in verse 1, he states, "If you have been raised with Christ, you seek the things that are above, where Christ is." So then in the next section in verses 5 and 8, Paul tells us what aspects to put to death, or what to put off, to take away, to put away. Immorality, impurity, evil desires, anger, wrath, slander, obscene talk, lies, one of the long lists that Paul likes to give. Putting off the old self and putting on the new self, which is a very helpful analogy for us. Within this chapter, the putting off and putting on is woven intricately throughout. So this morning we are focusing on what to put on, but it is important for you at some point to read the previous and following verses. It holds us accountable to what we should ask the Lord to remove from our wardrobe, so to speak. So may it be said also that the Lord is with us every step of the way through this process, because on our own, we would be stuck always wearing the old, ratty, worldly outfits. We need the Lord. Christ helps us put on that new self and that new wardrobe of praise. So compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Those virtues scream, love others, love others, love others. I don't know if you are like me, and at sometimes you just get sick of your own selfishness. And I do not say that with false humility. It is true. Sometimes my focus on my preferences, my little pity parties, and my needs above others makes me feel literally ill. It's like an ugly sweater that we refuse to take off sometimes. We know it just looks bad, like call the fashion police bad, but yet we keep putting it on. That selfishness seeps into our days and absorbs our focus back to self, to me, 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 instead of outwardly to God and others. Yet God wants to transform our inward parts as well, our heart and our soul, as only He can. These virtues are an outpouring of our relationship with God, the fruits of the Spirit, if you will, claiming our identity as holy and beloved chosen children of God, each and every one of us. It's what James describes as a living faith. I don't know about you, but I just love the book of James. It is so practical and so applicable. And our faith in action grows out of our righteousness and faith in Jesus Christ. Again, something that we do not do on our own at all. So this is one of those moments where we ask ourselves, at the foot of the manger, at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the tomb, have we accepted our call as a follower of Christ? Have you accepted your call as a follower of Christ? Have you entered into that relationship where you have claimed your identity as a sinner, saved by grace, living in gratitude and love? Because until you accept that call and make that profession of faith in Christ, you will just keep putting on those grave clothes, that ugly sweater, that old garment that chooses self over God and others each time. It is God who changes us, not us that change and then come clean to God. We cannot clean ourselves. We need the Lord to do that. He is the transformer. God transforms our hearts and our desires, and he gives us a new spiritual wardrobe, and we ask him to help us discard our old, tattered rags. So in verse 13, we see that we are to put on forgiveness. That's a tough one. Bearing with one another, standing beside each other, forgiving one another. And it is in putting on this garment of forgiveness that we truly begin to understand the radical forgiveness that God provides for us. So do we seek to follow in God's footsteps as we forgive those who have wronged us or hurt us? Especially if someone is actually coming to us asking for forgiveness and apologizing for how they have continued to wrong us. Or do we put on hatred and possibly even worse, a false sense of forgiveness as resentment just continues to build? And as we are tempted to gossip and talk badly about those around us that have hurt us or our loved ones. I have seen both of those happen within these very walls, and I have also seen this happen in my heart and my life as well. I had a best friend through high school and college, and I wronged her soon after college by telling another friend kind of my negative thoughts about her and her boyfriend's relationship. It could be paraphrased as, he needs to put a ring on it, he's just stringing her along. Well, the gossip got back to my friends, and it was really hurtful, and we haven't been friends since. So I rationalized in my mind that it had not been that big of a deal, and it was actually my other friend's fault for mentioning what I had said to her. You know, that shifting of the blame. But at a certain point, I realized I need to ask my friend's forgiveness because the unsettled angst from my relationship was causing bitterness and anger in me, and I knew that it was probably causing the same in her. So last year, I finally wrote her and asked for her forgiveness, and she graciously wrote back that she had already forgiven me. And that meant a lot to me. Are we close friends anymore? No. But our relationship has closure with true forgiveness, and I was obedient to the Lord. But it took humility and the swallowing of pride on my part because I was definitely in the wrong. So if we truly took time to stand before God and realize all he has forgiven, does forgive, and will forgive, we would be flat on our faces in worship and humility because we are not worthy. But God deems us forgiven and worthy. So may we wake each day ready to put on that gratitude and attitude of forgiveness and patience for one another. So the crux of Paul's writing here comes in verse 14 when he says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything in perfect harmony. This is the most important element of our spiritual outfit, if you will, to put on the love of Christ daily. To remind ourselves each day of the unconditional love of God, both for us and for others. And my goodness, don't we have to be reminded? This portion of Paul's writing mirrors the parents' struggle to get their children dressed in the morning. Up to this point, Paul has said, put off that, put off this, put on that. And it reminds me of my sometimes daily battle with Kate and Lila. Now, they weren't originally going to be here today. But they are here, so I'm going to just look this way. Okay, take off your PJs and put on new underwear. Yes, new underwear. Take off your old socks and put on new socks. Yes, new clean socks. Have you taken off your PJs yet? Why not? Okay, come on, let's get a move on. Let's not wear shorts because it's cold outside. We need to put on leggings under that dress so we don't freeze. Yes, you have to wear your uniform. Let's put on what we need to put on. Come on. No, I don't know where your other shoe is. Find a complete pair of shoes that work. Thankfully, God is much more patient with us than we are with those that we love. I love y'all. Yet he still wants us to put on the virtues that will help us be lights of Christ to the world so that the world will know him. We need to underline that, so that the world will know him. We are his vehicle through the Holy Spirit of how the world comes to know God. He chooses to use us. But like sleepy kids, we are lethargic and lacking motivation to put on what our heavenly parent desires. For us to put on love every day. But again, if we begin our day remembering who God is and who we are, our outfit and our outlook will change as we ask God to help us get ready for the day. So as usual, Paul doesn't let up from his edification for us as we continue into verses 15 and 16. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts as one body and be thankful. Paul is saying to put on peace every day, to take off the opposite of peace, which is discontentment and discord. One of the greatest and most miraculous things to hear is when someone says, "I have a peace about it." It may be someone who has lost their job or lost a loved one or who has experienced something far beyond what we could ever imagine surviving, yet they continue to trust God and can even say at times, they have a peace about it. Many people in our own congregation have had to deal with more loss and more sickness than we can imagine. Yet they have cast those burdens on the Lord and are allowing Jesus to carry that yoke alongside them. But think about the things that we instead let rule in our hearts instead of peace. Resentment, stress, anger, impatience, technology, social media, the news, jealousy, the I'll never be as pretty, rich, successful, fulfilled, well-dressed, well-vacationed, young-looking, or as impactful as that person. As we let the word of Christ dwell in us in all that we do, our garments become those of peace, worship, and thankfulness. So questions to ask yourself. Are you reading your Bible? Are you carving out time with God daily to consider how God is leading you? Do you truly lift your voice and heart in worship? My devotion book has a quote that challenges us in this way. Conventional Christians secretly assure themselves that if they attend to the prescribed moral externals, go regularly to church, and don't go off the deep end, they are pleasing to God. But although, in fact, they are pleasing mostly to themselves. Nonetheless, we are called to go off the deep end by abandoning ourselves to the Lord's care and to risk everything by letting go of everything. Letting go of everything. I'm not going to sing the song, but we know that we all have a hard time letting go. It's like the Marie Kondo organizational method for cleaning out your closet. You take out every piece of clothing out of your closets and drawers, make a big pile, you touch each piece of clothing, and you get rid of what you don't need, and you keep what sparks joy. But in this case, we are keeping and putting on what resembles complete trust in the Lord. Risking everything, we put off the old self and put on the new self. And thankfully, again, that is no longer self alone, We are not alone. It is us plus the radical peace and love of Jesus every single day. If you have ever talked to me about outfits and clothing, it won't take long for you to realize that I love thrift stores. My favorite earrings today are from a thrift store. At least half of my wardrobe is thrift or discount store-bought, and I love it. Growing up, it wasn't considered cool to shop at thrift stores. Everything had to be new and name brand, or you were teased because it was generic or knockoff. I am glad we've had a revitalization, it seems, of the thrift store positive outlook. And one of my favorite things to do is walk around a thrift store like Goodwill or Salvation Army. I like it because you never know what you will find, but also because almost every item of clothing has been a part of someone's story. So much of what you find there is tried and true. A worn-in pair of jeans, the softest t-shirts that have been washed 100 times or more, comfy shoes with a couple of bumps and bruises, but still a lot of life left for my size 10 feet. Big feet. Thrift stores are beautiful to me because of the story of the items and because it takes time to sift through what's valuable and what is not. It reminds me how God can use the used, the worn, the tattered, and the throwaways to serve a purpose we never even expected. I get more compliments on my thrift store clothes than my newly bought clothes, and there is a sermon in that, and I'm preaching it now. Putting on the new self doesn't always mean choosing the flashy path or the most rational path from worldly standards. It means putting on what God is asking you to put on, and it may come about in unconventional and unexpected ways. But yet, as we are to be obedient, we are to be obedient and willing to risk everything as followers of Christ, like the shepherds did, like the wise men did, the children did, the women did, and the disciples did, all groups who were pretty much considered the cast-offs of society in Jesus' earthly time. We cannot leave this conversation about Colossians 3 without applying verse 17, that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, to do everything in the name of Jesus. That needs to go on your refrigerator. That is a great memory verse. Everything we do needs to be done through the lens of who we are called to be in Christ. It feels impossible. And it is impossible because we are not Jesus. But we are not called to be Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. There is only one Christ, and we cannot be him. But what we can be is in relationship with Jesus, so much so that we can overflow with the joy and peace we have through gratitude and relationship with God. That joy can spread to others who begin to notice that we have been changed. It's like the prodigal son's father telling his servants to bring the best robe and put it on him. It is a time of celebration when we accept who we are in Christ and let it bring us to the feet of our Father God. And he wants his other children to come along too. In closing, I would like to remind us all what Jesus put on for us, what he wore and what he endured for us. He put on swaddling clothes to come into this world as Emmanuel, God with us, not to a palace, but to a stark and humble cattle stall. Jesus put on sandals to walk the dusty roads of Jerusalem and beyond to preach the good news of repentance and salvation, that the Son of God had come to seek, heal, and save the lost. Finally, he put on grave clothes and a crown of thorns to willingly give himself for our sins and to lay down his life for us all, no matter the cost. And all of that he did willingly. That obedience allowed us the ultimate victory over death, when, praise the Lord, he put off the grave clothes and exchanged them for new white robes and new life. So what to wear, what to wear? May Jesus be our guide. In gratitude and humility, every time we get dressed in the morning, and each time we put on some of our favorite things, may we be reminded to put on God's everlasting virtues, such as compassion, love, peace, forgiveness, and joy. All are part of the beautiful garments of praise and the armor of God. Let us not forget that we are led by the Holy Spirit on this earth as the hands and feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we lean on the Lord daily for his wisdom and mercy. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love and for your word. We thank you for this time together this morning. We pray for the movement of your Holy Spirit now as we are drawn to a time of response, whether in our pew or at the altar. Help us discard what is not glorifying to you, and may we embrace how you are teaching us, leading us, and guiding us. If we haven't given our life over to Jesus, Lord, move in us and help us make that commitment now. If our commitment has grown stale and lukewarm, may your Spirit relight our fire of gratitude and service in your name. We give this time of invitation to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.